physical, for their health, mental, financial. But just the list can go on and on. There's just so many trials that we face each and every day. And what a blessing it is that we have a God that loves us, that forgives us daily, that continues to provide for our needs. Again, whether it's spiritual, physical, material, whatever it is. And this old flesh, a lot of times, has a hard time to trust in God that He will provide me. But very special blessings for me that I know I'll put up here probably right before, but there's two verses in Proverbs 3 is that we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that word trust means exactly what it says. We need to trust. And that's hard to do for myself.
appreciate the things that Brother Jamie's brought to our attention, the prayer. Ask a continued interest in your prayers as we continue together. We've met out today to worship and serve together. That's the purpose of our coming together at the Lord's house. To worship and serve the Lord in a public way, acknowledge our belief in our Lord and Savior, and to learn that we might better worship Him not only when we're together, but we might better worship Him in our daily walk and life. This morning I'd like to continue in the book of 2 Corinthians, in the second chapter, where Paul asks a question. 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, the last part of the 16th verse, where Paul said, "And who is sufficient for these things?" You remember last Sunday we looked at the fact that Paul talked about his triumph in Christ. Paul talked about the gospel that he preached being a savor or a fragrance. And he says it was a fragrance to some of one thing and a fragrance to others of another. To some, he said it was the savor or the smell of death unto death. And to some, he says it was the smell or the fragrance of life unto life. And we looked at the fact that Paul was making sort of a reference there to another triumph, that when the word triumph was mentioned back among the brethren in that day, their minds went to the Roman triumph. Paul was there in Rome. And it mentioned the Roman triumph, where the generals would come, the ones that had won the war, and march their soldiers. And they would ride in what we described last week as a not just a chariot, but a stretch chariot. It had not one horse or two horses, but four horses. Big, beautiful chariot. And in that parade, the parade, that triumph, there were those who bore censers that gave off a fragrance. And that fragrance to the victors was a sweet fragrance, a good odor. But also in that parade, in that triumph, marching along in the parade, were those who had been taken captive in the battle. And that parade ended them with being taken to what the Romans called the Circus Maximus, where they were put in an arena and fought lions and were literally executed and devoured even by the cruelty of wild animals. So Paul had preached the gospel. To some, it was good news, he says. It smelled good. To some, it wasn't good news. And last week, as we looked at that, we looked at the fact that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians. To those that perish, to unbelievers, to those that are dead in trespasses and sins, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But the way it's an odor to them. It doesn't smell good. It smells like the incense probably smelled. It's of death, like those that were captives in the Roman triumph. But the Word of God goes on to say there in 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is to them that are saved, not to those that are perishing, but to those that are saved, those who have been born of God's Spirit. To them, it is the power of God. It's about the power of God. It's good news to them. And if the preaching of the cross is foolishness to you, then there's a reason for that. And if the preaching of the cross is good news to you and is about the power of God and a message that you like to hear, what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary's cross, if the preaching of the cross is good news to you, then it's because it's a message of life unto life. It's a message about life unto one that has life, one that's been born again of the Spirit. And one of the greatest evidences you'll ever have of being a child of God and being born of His Spirit is the fact that the preaching of the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not foolishness to you, but it's good news to you. It's a good message to you. It's a sweet message to you. And it's a message of hope to you, and a message that is of life unto life, one in which you can rejoice and in which you can find comfort. That Jesus Christ, the message of the cross, that Jesus Christ died on the cross. But Paul had been preaching these things. And Paul says, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient for these things? Sufficient to deal with all of this, to teach all of this, to proclaim all of this. Paul asked that question. You know, Paul was a very honest man. Paul laid his heart out. In the preceding verses, you remember he told them about writing a letter, and Paul was big enough to say that it was in much tears, he said, for out of much, in the second chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears. Paul was honest enough to say, I wrote to you out of many tears. Paul is honest enough here to ask this question. When he talked about the responsibility that he had had in declaring the gospel and about his ministry. And by the way, we are all ministers. We all have a ministry. We are all servants of Jesus Christ. And we have a ministry. Some our ministry is to lead songs. Some of our ministry is maybe to open service. Some of our ministry may be to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some of our ministry may be, our primary ministry may be, to set a good example and teach our family and lead our family as a godly father. Or as a godly mother, or as a godly neighbor, or as a friend to others. We all have a ministry. And we can minister every day in every aspect of our lives. But who is sufficient for that? Paul asked that question about himself. You know, I've heard it said that in conversation there are the subjects of conversation, there's generally considered to be three levels of conversation. There's conversation about people. That's about the lowest level of conversation there is. You just talk about people and talk about people. And there's conversation about things. That's on a little higher level. And then there's conversation and discussion about ideas. It's on the highest level. But in our conversation, there's not only different subjects we can deal with, but there's a degree in which we can reveal ourselves in conversation. And Paul, I find here, went to the highest level of conversation. He poured out his heart. He talked about his tears. And he's willing to say about himself, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient? You see, it's easy for us, you know, in revealing ourselves. There's different levels of revealing ourselves to others. I can meet you and I can say, good morning, hello, good to meet you. Little cliches, you know, that's easy. That's not like who is sufficient for these things. And we can move on beyond that. We might get on the elevator with someone and we might go beyond a good morning and we might say, we may speak about some fact and we may say, you know, it sure was cold out there this morning. We're pretty comfortable with that, aren't we? We can say good morning and we can say, sure was cold out there this morning. And sometimes, you know, we can go on beyond that and even express our opinions and say, it was cold. Good morning. It's cold out there this morning. And I like a cold day like this. I just feel invigorated on a cold day like this. We begin to express our feelings and our opinions. But the highest level of revealing ourselves in conversation is a level of conversation where we communicate with others and reveal and open about ourselves and open and honest about things. And Paul was blessed of God here to be open and honest to these brethren. You know, the world says you come across as strong. You come across as strong. You be wise and you put up a front to everybody else. Don't you ever admit to somebody else that you may question whether you're sufficient for these things, whether you're strong enough or smart enough, or that you have what it takes to deal with what comes along. The world says you be self-confident and you draw from your inner self. And you draw on the resources that you have. And you draw on the strength that you have. And you draw on the abilities that you have. And you draw on your experiences. And you draw on your education. And you draw on all of those things. And you can handle life. You know, I appreciate the verse that Brother Jamie read there this morning from the third chapter of Proverbs, the fifth verse, about trusting the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He, God, will direct thy paths. And the next verse goes on and says, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know what the world says? The message of the world says, be wise in your own eyes. You trust in yourself. You've got it within yourself. That wasn't the attitude the Apostle Paul had. Paul was willing to reveal himself and say, who is sufficient for these things? Have you ever encountered anything in life? Circumstances? Difficult times? Difficult periods in your life? Difficult people in your life? Others, you know, I tell my wife every once in a while when I have a little encounter at work with people. You know, if you deal with people, you're going to have some kind of little encounter. I don't care who you are, how easy you are to get along with, it's going to happen. You know, it just happens. When there's two people together, my wife and I don't know how anybody could love anyone any more than we feel the love for each other. Just like you feel between the husbands and wives here and families here. But you know, there's times that we sort of irritate each other. We may have a little argument. And I tell my wife sometimes at work, I say, man, it sure would be a lot easier at work if I just didn't have to deal with people, you know? And they probably go home and say the same thing about me. Now, if I just didn't have to deal with others, you know? But we do run into difficult times in life. And the point is, Paul asked this question. He opened up. He wasn't reserved. He wasn't hidden. He asked this question, who is sufficient for these things? You know, Paul over had told us over in the book of Philippians in the third chapter, the fourth through the eighth verse, Paul went through a list there of things. He had a pedigree just beyond anyone else. Paul told us over there, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, he said, I am more. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day. Well, he was a Jew of the Jews. I'm of the stock of Israel, he said, and of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, he said, I'm a Pharisee. There was nobody that was better at the Jewish law than the Pharisees. Oh, they had it down pat. They had it down to the point, you know, that on Sunday they would not labor, and there was just so poor that they would walk on Sunday if they walked beyond. One more step. Beyond that distance, it became work, and they had violated the law. They had it down so that when they spat on the ground, they were careful to spit on a rock, because if they spat on the ground and their spittle mixed with dust, the two mixing together formed clay, and that was labor. So if they spit on a rock, it didn't mix with the dust and become clay. That was all right. They had it down pat. They had the law. Boy, they observed those rules and knew those rules and followed those rules. Paul says, anybody have something to boast about? Look at my heredity. Look who I descended from. Look what I've achieved. Look who I am, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul said all those things. Now you might think, well, Paul sounds like a braggart here. No. Paul went on. He didn't stop there. He not only was a Jew of the Jews, he belonged to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court that ruled there, just a religious court. And only had to be a Pharisee to be on that court. And they were the very select. And Paul had been selected and chosen to be one of the Sanhedrin, members of the Sanhedrin, at a very young age. Paul had achieved it all. You think, now there's somebody that's got it all together. There's somebody that knows what life is all about. There's somebody that's got everything going for them. There's somebody that's got everything they need to be successful in life. There's somebody that is sufficient for these things. That's what you would think about Paul. You know what Paul said about all those things? About his pedigree, about the family that he belonged to and who he descended from, and about his education and about his being a Pharisee and about his belonging to the Sanhedrin and about being a Hebrew of the Hebrews and keeping all that law and being blameless in all that law. Paul went on to say in Philippians in the 3rd chapter, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Paul, after he said, "You think you've got something to be proud about, that you're something yourself, that you're somebody important, that you've got it all together?" He said, "I had it all together. But all of those things that I have," he said, "I suffered the loss of all things," he said, "for Christ. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things." And you know what else he said? He said about all those things that he listed, and he said, "I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He said they're like a pile of manure. All my credentials, all my positions, all that I have, all that there is of me, he says, I count them but like dung, like a little pile of manure, just worthless. Just worthless, that I may win Christ. What is Paul telling us here? You know, he answers this question, who is sufficient for these things? If you go down in the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse, Paul says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." You see, that's the message that the Apostle Paul had to share. That's the message that you and I need. If we go through life thinking that we're going to achieve, we're going to acquire the knowledge, we're going to be wise in our own eyes, we're going to trust in ourselves to deal with what comes our way in life, we're going to be sadly disappointed. The fact of the matter is we are not sufficient for these things. Jesus Christ said on one occasion in John 15:5, where he talked about the vine and the branches. He said, "I'm the vine and you're the branches." And he said this in John 15:5, "For without me ye can do nothing." Without me ye can. You don't have the ability. You can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. But that's one side of it. That's us left to ourselves. That's us trying to be sufficient for these things solely of ourselves and trusting, being wise in our own eyes and trusting in ourselves and our own wisdom and our own accomplishments and our own abilities. Being self-confident, as the world says to be self-confident. He says, "Without me you can do nothing." But you know, the Word of God goes on and says that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We find that in Philippians chapter 4. Paul wrote that. You know, Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing." And Paul, through his experiences, went on to write and say, "I can do all things." I can do all things. How? "Through Christ which strengtheneth me." Now, do you see where Paul's sufficiency came from? It wasn't from his background. It wasn't from his family. It wasn't from what he was. It wasn't from what he had accomplished. It wasn't from his experiences. It wasn't from how smart he was or how strong he was or who he knew and how influential he was. It wasn't from how good he had been. His sufficiency for dealing with the things that are important in life and that matter in life, his sufficiency he drew from God. He said, "I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of God." That's the only place you and I will find our sufficiency for life, is in God. You know, Paul talked about when he was weak and when he was strong. In 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he said, Paul wrote, he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul said that, and he repeated the words of Jesus Christ. If your Bible is a red letter Bible, then that verse there in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, you'll find that "my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." It's in red. It was words spoken by Christ while here on earth. And so Paul relied upon that, on the words of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for thee. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The blessing of God. The strength and the sufficiency that we can draw from God is where we'll find our sufficiency in life. And Paul concluded in the 10th verse of that 12th chapter, 2 Corinthians. He concluded the 10th verse, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now that doesn't sound right, does it? Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. You know why Paul was strong when he was weak? When Paul was weak and realized his insufficiency and realized his weakness, it was then that he turned to God and depended upon Him. Do you remember how Paul started out over there in the book of Acts? Do you remember when Paul was still practicing the things of the Jewish religion? And he was on the road to Damascus. He had letters in hand from the Sanhedrin that he might go and as he said himself, arrest men and women and take them back and imprison them and even had a writ there of death, impose a death sentence possibly upon those that were serving the Lord. Paul had that kind of authority and he had that kind of power. But as he traveled on the road to Damascus, you remember he was struck down by a light and the Lord appeared to him. And you remember the question? Paul was real strong, wasn't he? He was real strong then. He had authority. He had those letters. He had the authority of the Sanhedrin behind him. And behind them was the authority of the Roman government. They'd given authority there to the Jewish Sanhedrin. He had the authority to go arrest people for doing the sort of things that you and I are doing here today and haul them off and put them in jail and even have them put to death. But when Paul was struck down, when he had all that power and all that strength, he asked a question. He said, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? That's what Paul meant when he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. You know, when we think we're strong is when we're weakest. When we think we've got life under control. When we think that we're wise enough and we know the answers and we know what to do. And we know how to deal with other people. And we know how to handle other people. And we know how to handle the circumstances of life that we're so strong and so self-confident and so sure of ourselves. When we are wise in our own eyes. When we think we're strong, that's when we're really weak. But when we know we're weak, that's when we're really strong. Because when we realize that we are weak, when we realize, as Paul did here, that we're not sufficient for these things, when we realize that we need God's help and that we need to call upon the Lord and we need the strength of the Lord, and we need to be, as Paul said, that we are to do all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, the world says, decide what you want. Set your mind on it and go for it. Boy, that's when you're really in trouble, you know? You know the best question we can ask, and one that we're really afraid to ask, when we're in the flesh, we really get afraid to ask this question, and that is, you know, when we think we're strong and we're in the flesh, we decide what we want. We call upon the Lord to bless it, you know. Lord, I'm going to go apply for this new job tomorrow. I'm going to decide I've got to elect my major in school. I've got to select what courses I'm going to take here in high school. I'm little simple things. Or even, Lord, I don't know whether I want to ask this young woman to marry me. Or, Lord, I've been asked this man to marry me, and I want to marry him, Lord. Would you bless, you bless us to get married, and, you know, deciding what we want and asking for the Lord's blessing on what I want. We do that quite often, don't we? But when we say and ask the question, Lord, as Paul did, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? What will Thou have me to do? Do you know what God will have you to do? He'll give you the strength for it. That's what the Word of God means when it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That doesn't mean that God is a blank check and we decide what we want, where we want to go, what we want to have out of life, what we want to be in life, what we want to do in life and every aspect of life, and be self-willed about it and say, God, enable me to do this. That's not what that verse means. But what that verse means is, when we say, God, what will thou have me to do? And we turn our lives over to Him and say, what will you have me to do? When we set our hearts and our minds on doing what God will have us to do, God will give us the strength for it. Our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It is of God. And that's the point that Paul is making here. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. We face this not only in the careers and the decisions. We're going to face temptations in life. We're going to face pressures in life. You know, there's a lot of young women here today, visiting today. Several young women in this congregation. You know, they're going to face temptations in life and pressures. And the question to deal with those sort of things is, you know, should I? My boyfriend is pressuring me to do something I just don't feel right about. I don't know. You know, there's an easy answer to that. Lord, what would you have me to do? And you know what? He'll help you to do it. And the young men that are here, you're going to face temptations and pressures in life. And when opportunities for sin arise, as they will, because your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, not can devour, may devour. Are you going to let Satan devour your life? You don't have to let Satan devour your life. You are not sufficient of yourselves for these things, but your sufficiency is of God. And you can do all things, every one of us. It's not just when we're young. When we're young, we're to flee, the Word of God says, youthful lusts. We need to flee them all of our life. There are temptations all the days of our life that we need to stand against and flee and call upon God and say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And find our answer there. And we won't go wrong in that. I may go wrong when I decide for myself what is best and what is right and whether I should do this or whether I shouldn't do that. But I'll never go wrong when I call upon the Lord and say, what will Thou have me to do? You see, Paul, with all that he had and all he had experienced and all that he was honest enough to say, I'm not sufficient for these things. I'm not sufficient to deal with this. I don't have what it takes. You know, honesty and sincerity. Just be honest with yourself and honest with others. You know, I had some folks talking to me Friday, I guess it was, thinking about hiring me to do something for them. And they mentioned that they had talked to someone else too. I said, well, who was it? And they told me, I said, I know all about him. And they said, oh, you do? Well, tell us. And you know, their ears sort of perked up. I knew he was a competitor, you know. And I knew that they were just waiting to see. I said, well, I've known him for years. He's a fine man. There's not a thing that I could do for you that he couldn't do for you. And I don't think I could do it any better than he could do it for you. He could do anything I could do for you. And you wouldn't go wrong there. And if you feel comfortable with him, then you won't go wrong there. And they sort of looked funny. Well, that was the truth. And you know what? That's fine. If they go with that young man, I meant it. They won't go wrong. That's fine if they hire him and instead of me. You know, it's okay to admit that we don't have all the answers. That's not going to get us in trouble, to admit we don't have all the answers. That to admit that we don't have it all together. To admit that we're not sufficient of ourselves and that we need God's help and we need His sufficiency and we need the blessing of His grace in life. That's when you really have it all together from a spiritual standpoint. And if you want to make it easier through life and if you want the best there is in life, don't approach life and the questions that you deal with and the temptations that come up in life and the choices that you have to make in life, being wise in your own eyes, as it says there and warns us against in Proverbs 5:3-6 rather. Don't be wise in your own eyes. But realize, as the Apostle Paul did, that who is sufficient for these things? And Paul said, we are not sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God. And ask, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? You know, James even warned about that. He says, you know, you say tomorrow, we're going to go in a certain city, we're going to buy and sell and make this gain. James says, you ought not really say that. He says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, if it's the Lord's will. How many times? I wouldn't want to have to answer this question. You know, when I ask a question, it's usually one that I wouldn't want to answer myself. How many times this day have you said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Or yesterday? Or last week? You're missing out on a blessing. We're missing out on a blessing. When we go about life, trying to go about life and deal with life and the things that we have to encounter in life and the temptations and the trials and the difficulties and the heartaches and the joys and the sorrows and the good times and the bad times that come along in our life. When we approach life thinking we're sufficient of ourselves, we're going to be sadly disappointed. But when we approach all that we will approach in life, depending upon God, and in being honest in our communications. Now, you know, there are very few people you can just pour your heart out to. I mean, you just don't go up to a stranger and pour your heart out to them. But if you're blessed with a spouse or a neighbor or a friend, maybe just one person that you can pour your heart out to, and they'll take that information and not try to use it against you, but they'll take that information that discloses your weaknesses and your fears. And they'll take that information and pray for you and try to help you. You're blessed. If you have one person you can do that with. But you know, you do have one that you can do that with. You can pour it out to the Lord. You see, just like in conversation and where we want to be in cliches, good morning, hello, rainy outside, sure was pretty out there this morning. You know, we stay on that level. Sometimes that's the level we stay on in our prayers too, isn't it? Sometimes we got, Lord, bless my wife, bless my family, bless children, bless our nation, Lord, bless our church. And bless, you know, that's good to ask for those things. But when we pour out our hearts in prayer to God, and we open up, and we admit, God, I don't even know what the questions are in life, much less what the answers are. I don't know how to deal with this situation, Lord. I don't know whether I can continue on in the face of this trial, Lord. Or even, Lord, things have been going so good for me that really I see that I'm lifted up in pride. And I think, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Forgive me for such an attitude, Lord. We need to get intimate with God in our prayers. That's the kind of prayer God's Word encourages. Open up our hearts. You see, God knows all about us anyway. You know, Paul here in writing, after he asked the question, who is sufficient for these things, he said in the last verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, for we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. He said, in sincerity we speak. And when we speak to God in prayer, we need to speak to God in sincerity and pour out our hearts and admit our weaknesses. You see, we're in the sight of God. He knows anyway. We're not hiding anything from God. He knows the thoughts that are going through your mind right now. He knows you're thinking, I wish that preacher would end it and get it over with. I want to get on, get up prepared for my Super Bowl party tonight. You know, he knows that thought's going through your mind. Or, boy, this is the longest sermon I've ever heard. I'm used to 15, 20-minute sermons and I'm tired. You know, he knows what you're thinking. He knows all about you. There's nothing that I've ever thought or even thought I was going to say and didn't say that God didn't know. He says, I know your words before they're formed on your tongue. God knows. God knows all about your weaknesses. He knows about your joys. He knows about your sorrows. He knows about the gifts He's given to you. He knows what you need better than we know ourselves what we need. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And pray for the courage. When He shows you what is good and right and what He would have you to do, remember that His grace is sufficient for you. And when you're weak, when you realize you are weak of yourselves, that's when you're strong, because that's when you turn to God. That's what Paul meant when he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. When I realize I'm not sufficient for these things and that I need God's help and I need His direction and I need His wisdom. I'm not wise in my own eyes. The world says get it all together and you got what it takes and you can handle anything in life. You can achieve what you want to achieve. You can be what you want to be. You can go where you want to go. Don't buy the world's thinking. Don't buy that self-willed thinking. There's no joy in that. The blessing comes when we're brought to the point in life we say, Lord, what will Thou have me to do? And then we pray to God for the courage and the grace to deal with life and to deal with one another and deal with the temptations and deal with our successes in life and deal with our failures in life and deal when we do the right thing honestly with it and deal when we do the wrong thing honestly with it. You know, that we got to deal with that honestly too. We got to acknowledge that it's sin. And we've got to ask God to forgive us of that sin, knowing that He will forgive us of that sin. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, the all things that God would have us to do. Are you leaning in your own understanding? Are you wise in your own eyes? Are you strong enough to admit that you're weak and you need God's help along life's way? God knows. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you, whatever it is. Just ask God, what will Thou have me to do? And pray based on what He reveals to you. I thank You for Your good attention. We will stand and turn to number 154. While we stand and sing, we'll announce the doors of the church are open. There's one or more here that has desire to unite with the church. We'll give you that invitation. And while we continue singing, we will greet one another as is our custom here and shake hands with one another. It's a part of our fellowship. We invite everyone that's here that wants to take part in our handshaking. We invite you to take part. Doesn't matter whether you belong to some other church, no church, whatever. If you feel comfortable to participate in this greeting of one another with us, we invite you to do so as is our custom here. Number 154, Brother Jonathan.
Thank you.
want to remind everyone, our Wednesday night is conference night. I believe Sister Juanita said she would be feeding those that want to come at 6:30. We have just a very light meal at 6:30 for all that want to come and have that. And at 7, we begin with a short singing service and then conference and then followed by Bible study. But we have a conference once a month on the second Wednesday of each month. So be in prayer for those services as we meet together on Wednesday night. Any other announcements or anything? If not, again, we want to... Okay. Brother Tommy and Sister Amanda, remember them. Sister Amanda's baby, their baby to be born, and her diabetes. Continue to pray for them for a good, healthy, safe delivery, and that God will bless their family. And remember all of those that have been mentioned. It's not just a formality that we mention the need for prayer, but it's because we need the prayers of one another. But yes. We hope you have a safe trip. Pray you have a safe trip. Someone may have dropped a bracelet. I'll leave it up here on the table. If it happens to be yours, you're missing one. It's there on the table. Nothing else. All minds are clear. Thank you all for being here. And our hope and prayer is that something from God's Word or from perhaps the words of a song will be a blessing and a help to everyone that's here at some time in the days ahead in your walk with your Lord and Savior. We'll be dismissed. I ask Elder Joe Hayes, if he would, to dismiss us with prayer, please.
Dismiss us without care and keeping, O Lord, help us as we depart this place and face another week that we acknowledge Thee in all that we do. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, to look to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us as a church body, as a church family, that we might grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our individual families, that they might have healthy babies born to them, that they might have the grace to raise their children and nurture in the admonition of the Lord. Help each and every one of us to grow to know that Thou art God. Beside Thee there is no other. Forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings, our mistakes. Hold them no more against us. Love us freely for Jesus' sake. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. When you said that, I looked.
Come on. I saw you look at your arm, and I figured it was funny how they slip off and down.